Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I have heard plenty of stuff about church and God my whole life. I still didn't believe in God, but I had a moment where I experienced God, not because I was in a church, not because I was standing in front of somebody preaching. I had a moment where I heard God say, give your life to me.
So one thing I love to do is ask God questions. Like, I know people say like, oh, you're not supposed to ask God. Well, the Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask him.
When I was going through depression and all of my different hardships, I wasn't in God's will. You know what I'm saying? And now as I get to know the word, be able to have a relationship with him, is what I can lean on. It's like, even if I'm confused on whatever it is, the trials that I'm going through, I can have peace in my mind and know like everything is gonna work out. You know what I'm saying? Hey, what's good, y'all? Welcome to Growing Pains Podcast, where we talk about business
GP.
And faith. I'm Travion.
Yeah. I'm Ayane.
Hey, y'all. I'm Jada.
Yo, and today we're going to be talking about some scriptures that may encourage you through challenging times, through the times that you may stress. And so, yeah, that's what we're going to get into today. Let's get it.
Before we get started, what's your favorite book in the Bible?
The one that you tried to correct me on.
Genesis? Mm-hmm. You like Genesis for real?
No. Oh. That's what I'm reading right now. But yeah.
So is that your favorite?
I'd say right now, yeah.
Okay. What about you?
Philippians.
Ooh.
That's a lot of good stuff in there.
It is good.
A lot.
For me, I'll probably say right now, I'm not gonna lie, I feel like my favorite right now is Matthew. Mm-hmm. Just because
Matthew is really
good. Yeah. And it's crazy because I used to be like, oh, I've read Matthew so many times, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, mm-hmm. and John, you know how they're all about the gospels.
Yeah.
I used to be like, they're all saying the same thing, like why keep saying it the same thing, just four different chapters.
Yes.
But then I don't know, I feel like recently God's just been showing me how different each chapter is,
mm-hmm.
and just like I've been getting new revelation in Matthew's, mm-hmm. and now it's like one of my favorite books. Before, it was Romans.
Mm. Romans is really good.
Romans
too.
Go crazy.
I was gonna say Matthew's. One thing I realized is that if because I was getting annoyed with that too, like when I kept seeing like things repeated in the Bible.
Yeah.
But one thing I realized was that if it's like repeated multiple times, it's like there's a lesson in that, or it's an importance of what we're supposed to like take heed of.
For sure.
Yeah, it's kind of like when your parents repeatedly tell you something. Because they said it multiple times, it doesn't make it any less true. Or they're saying it multiple times for a reason, because it's something that you need to hear. Something that you need to receive.
Yeah, and so. I think as far as the Gospels, though, I think it's not even the thing of, like, it's saying the same thing. I've noticed it's just different perspectives.
Exactly, yes.
And it's coming from different viewpoints. So I thought it was same thing, but then I had to realize the context
that part.
Of each chapter. And then it made me realize, well, it's not really, it is saying, it's the same message, but it is saying different things.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Or coming
with that.
From a different place, rather.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like, it's essentially how we could all experience an event. We could all experience, like, what it's like doing Growing Pains Podcast, or what it's like going to, say, a conference like InvestFest. Yeah. We're all going to have, and what I'm about to say has to do with, like, how people have mentioned how the Gospels, like, when you're reading it, or they may say throughout that part of the Bible or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, they're saying things differently or whatever the case may be. But if we were to all tell our experience for the same thing, we're not going to tell the story the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
One person may talk a little longer. One person, like, because we are people, generally we're telling the same story,
mm-hmm.
but we're telling it from our own perspective. So that's really what the Gospels are, for real. It's just like,
that's real.
Yeah, multiple people telling their experience, their point of view.
So that's real quick, I want to explain. So, oh, dang. Because I wanted to explain the different, perspectives of the Gospels, because I know one explains Jesus as like, or explains the gospel as like a kingdom. One of them explain, I forgot, and if I find it, I'll let y'all know before the episode is over.
Mm-hmm. Bruh, Speaking of the scriptures, you tried to correct me early this week.
Oh yeah,
that was funny.
Trey said that Trey was saying how there's a verse that says
how like basically if
an animal kills somebody, then you have to kill the animal.
Yeah, no. and if a person kills someone, they have to be taken down too.
That part I agreed with. I just didn't know that.
What are you about to say? Bruh, she called me a liar, a manipulator. She said I'm everything in the book.
Yes.
Really? What were you about to say, Jenna?
No. Y'all said it.
Because the way the conversation started, we were talking about if we thought that animals went to heaven or not. And so I was like, I know that there's animals in heaven. But I was like, I don't know if animals really go to heaven. And that's when Trey was like, well, in the Bible, it says that if you kill an animal, or if an animal kills you, you have to kill the animal. And I was like, it don't say that, bro.
The animal will be killed or something like that.
Yeah. It says, hold on, because I wrote it down for that specific moment. It says, it's in Genesis 9, verse 5, and it says, and I will require the blood of anyone who takes another person's life. If a wild animal kills a person, it must die, and anyone who murders a fellow human must die. Now I feel like we don't follow that to the T.
What,
like
if an animal kills you?
Yeah. Well, because I feel like now, like, people love animals and stuff, so there's
I think people take down animals that kill people.
Yeah, like Shamu, they done killed all them whales and Six Flags. Shamu. Yeah,
what is that?
Oh wow.
You know Shamu?
Oh my gosh, are y'all serious?
You're showing your age.
You know what that is,
Reese?
What is Shamu? It's like you show your age each and every
time. What is that?
Y'all don't know Shamu, that is crazy.
If you explain it, I might know.
Yeah.
Six Flags. SeaWorld. I mean, there we go, SeaWorld.
I know SeaWorld, but I don't know Shamu.
Shamu, the what? The whole park, oh, really? The whole star of the park is Shamu.
Is that still a thing?
Is it?
I don't think so.
That's crazy.
I haven't been to SeaWorld in a minute, since like high school, for real. But
I never heard of Shamu.
That's crazy.
I heard of SeaWorld. I never been to SeaWorld, but I heard of it.
I've been there when I was younger, I think, or it was in a movie, and I just pictured it as reality. I don't remember if I really. I just remember watching a movie, so I don't know if it was real or if that was
but
a movie.
But what about Shamu?
So basically, those are like the big black and white whales. Yeah, I wanted to say killer whale, but I didn't know if I was correct. But yeah, they're the big killer whales, but they domesticate them, teach them tricks, all these different things. And there will be instances where they kill the owner. And
they take them down.
Yeah, but it's like, bro, you got this humongous whale in this little bitty tank. Like...
That's crazy.
And they're literally killer whales, bruh.
That's like, crazy.
And y'all trying to turn them into a friendly little pet.
I don't like when I be seeing, like, okay, I feel like I'm going off topic. But I don't like when I be seeing, like, horses that be carrying the carriages. You know how in the city?
Oh, and they whipping them?
Yes. That hurts my heart, bruh. Because it's like, why are you torturing this horse?
So then that mean you got to be against zoos.
I like zoos.
But they torture zoo animals.
Huh?
They be torturing zoo animals.
They do.
I never seen it though, so if I don't see it, wait,
she said out of sight, out of mind.
When they let you ride them elephants.
When have you ever rode an elephant?
I've ridden an elephant.
Jada,
they have them at the Renaissance Festival.
You show your age every time.
No, people do be riding.
They let you ride elephants.
I've never seen nobody ride
an
elephant.
I'm talking about here though, at the Renaissance Festival.
What?
I've never seen nobody ride an elephant, bro.
I have in Africa. People be riding elephants. I be seeing on TikTok.
But you can ride them here in America.
That is crazy. Anyway, let's not get
too far off into the topic.
Bro. Overall,
And I will say they killed the apes too.
They killed the apes.
Oh my gosh! Did y'all hear about the apes that's going wild? Well, I think did we talk about
this? Those were little monkeys.
No, we didn't.
Bro, but they're going apes. Wild. It's monkeys going wild in
little
South Carolina
monkeys
right
though,
now.
Bro. They're little.
Okay,
monkeys.
Did y'all? You literally watch Planet of the Apes. You know how
little
story
monkeys?
Ends.
No, little
going off a movie.
Little monkeys, bro.
Y'all. If y'all don't know, 40 monkeys in South Carolina is getting, so close your window.
Little
lock
monkeys.
Your doors.
Like, hide your kids, hide your wife.
40 little monkeys.
Okay, little monkeys can still have dominion over humans. Over a human?
Bro, they can't. No, they can't.
Yes, a little human. I've seen a human be dominated by a monkey before.
I don't play with a little monkey.
Bro, it literally says we're ruler of all animals and all living things.
We are, but.
I don't play with a little monkey. They're not that big, bro. Them things is shorter than you.
Okay, what if they throw poop at you? Then what?
Throw poop at you.
Monkeys throw poop.
No, they don't.
Okay. Yes, they do.
Real quick. If you're not subscribed to the channel, what are you doing? Tap in.
Tap in, twin. Take a 5-second break and go subscribe.
Exactly. We got so much on our channel, y'all. We got vlogs. We got challenges. We got Silent Library. We got everything. So what are you doing?
Like, what are you doing?
Go subscribe right now.
What are you doing? Go subscribe.
Go stand on business.
Stand on business, y'all.
Let's get back into the episode.
All right, bro.
Anyways,
y'all
enough
just
with
be
the
talking about anything.
Yanni called me a liar and she said that I was lying on the Bible.
She said, Trey, you do not know.
And I was like,
what it says.
And this is a lesson that I learned. Do not waver in your faith. Because I was like, am I wrong? Like, I know I just read that. So I had to literally look it up on Google clarify. Yeah.
Nah, not gonna lie though. Okay, on a serious note though, even though this is now Yanni was doing, but on a serious note, people will like definitely gaslight you about your faith.
About your, like, what you mean?
Like, have you thinking, like, how Trey was like, bruh, I know this is true.
Oh, for sure.
And then it's like, they will make you think what you feel like
is
not true. Yeah.
Yes.
Dang.
Yeah. And so that's why it's important to know
the truth. That's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
No, for sure.
People will try to make you waver. Like, especially when people start throwing facts at you or, like, history.
Like, stuff where you got a question.
Yeah. And it's, like, stuff you didn't know. And they're giving you all this philosophy and information. It's just like. Listen, I have my experience. I don't know what you're talking about, but I know what the word says.
That's a real gaslighter.
For real.
That's real.
Now, I think something that is important, though, for us to know, I think as believers, it's important I do feel like it's important to know, have, like, knowledge, but also have, like, faith, meaning, like, knowledge. It is important for us to know the history of things when it comes to the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And the word and our faith. It's important to know the history, but it is also to have, like, experience, like, your own relationship
in
faith.
Because I feel like information from the word helps you to defend, but then your experience helps you stay grounded in your faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's like, I know the word and I'm glad, so that way I can communicate it to others, but I'm also thankful for my own experience and encounters in Christ, because I know that no matter what you say after what I told you, I know that
for sure
Jesus is real.
That reminds me of an encounter I had just about, like, tithes and stuff. I was really confused on, like, what's the purpose of, like, paying tithes? Like, if I'm doing good in life, you know, and when I say doing good, like giving back to people or doing a good deed, I would feel like that's my tithes. Mm-hmm. But when I read, I don't remember the exact verses, but I know it was in Malachi, and they were basically saying that, you know, God is giving you 90%. All you have to do is just give him 10%. And so the reason of being able to, like, give that those tithes and things is in order to just, like, give him thanks, like, for what he's doing. So that's, like, a prime example.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't tithe, you're basically stealing from God.
Yeah, basically.
Did y'all? That's when I read that, I'm like, that's crazy. Yeah. So if you don't give God 10% of what he gave you, you're stealing. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like that goes further than just finances. Because even think about the Sabbath, like resting throughout the week.
Yeah.
That's like giving God 10% of your week. Mm-hmm. So I try to think about that with everything, like more than just money.
Yeah, that's honestly something I'm learning about, like the rest, like how important it is, like. It's kind of like the episode that we talked about of, like, ambition and faith.
Yeah.
Like, we want to be ambitious, but we also want to be able to lean on our faith, too.
For sure.
So, like, with the whole, like, tithes and stuff, you can see what a person, like, cares about based on, like, where they're placing their money at. Like, most oftentimes. So, that's definitely good that what you said just about, I forget exactly the term that you use, but just it's good to know your word, to, like, have your own relationship and just overall, like, be in your word. And one thing I'll give my 2 cents on is, for me personally, I know that basically, like, when you start to go through, like, a transition and, like, have just have our overall change in life, we tend to, like, be, like, on fire for Christ in a sense. And then we start to push that on other people, but not realizing that that's, like, everybody's on their own journey. So, like, what I'm learning to
do. You have an example for that?
Example is, like, people will have done stuff before, like in the world, and then once they're like in Christ, then they start to condemn people that are still in that phase of their life. And so for me, I just don't do that. I kind of just like, basically my results will show who I am in Christ now. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, and it's actually funny you said that, because I feel like right now I've been asking God. So one thing I love to do is ask God questions. Like, I know people say like, oh, you're not supposed to ask God. Well, the Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask him. So even if it's about something in the word and it's something that's challenged me, I'll be like, Lord, what are you talking about right here? Like, I don't know what this means. So one thing I've been asking God is the to help me understand and discern the difference between righteous judgment and judging people. Because I know that it's okay to judge righteously, but I don't necessarily know what the difference is between regular judging people, you know?
Can you break it down, like, the two differences?
I'm still learning. Oh, okay. So I know righteous judging, I'm still learning.
What have you learned since then?
I know that righteous judgment would be correcting someone in their faith. So like a brother or sister, if you see them sinning and they're doing something and you tell them like, that's not okay, we shouldn't be doing this.
Like how we hold each other accountable.
Exactly.
Friends.
Yeah, for faith. Sure. Yes. But then it's like, that's the one thing I
would. Okay, so, and that's what I want to clarify. Like, it's cool to correct people, but as far as like telling a person, like something like Lecrae said, like going out and evangelizing and telling somebody you're going to hell, that's not going to make the person want to get any closer to God. Like, you have to be able to meet them where they're at. And not meet them where they're at to where you're conforming, but meet them where they're at to where they can understand and actually hear you. You know what I'm saying? And they don't start to get defensive because they don't know. They're not used to what's going on. So that's pretty much what I learned.
Can I combat that a little bit?
You
can.
I have something to say too.
Oh. Real quick.
You can go.
I'll just make it real quick because it's something what Trey was saying.
I was going to say too, yeah.
So what you were saying. Okay, we can go, Jay. I feel like I've been talking a lot.
Oh, my God. Just go.
I was just going to say, as far as the evangelizing thing, I think that there are some people who stand on the corner and then they will have signs. The dramatic side of it. I don't even know if you really call that evangelizing. But they'll be outside talking about, you're all going to hell and all those things like that. But I think really, a simpler way to look at it is, or I feel like the correct way that God wants us to do things, it's really just like sharing your story with someone. Like how you said, meeting them where they are. And through that, like connecting with someone, sharing your story, and through that, your testimony, then that may plant that seed that may bring them to Christ. But I think of it that way.
That's good.
What about you?
Yeah, I kind of want to combat that a little bit because when I'm thinking about what happened in the Bible, before Jesus came, John the Baptist was outside telling people to repent. Like he was like, repent for your sins. So technically he would be one of those Christians that had the sign telling people they were going to hell, technically. Mm-hmm. Now my perspective, I feel like some people just receive, I feel like everybody receives the word differently. So I feel like there are going to be some people that hear people that are outside with the signs and yell and tell people they're going to go to hell. I feel like there are some people that it may push them further away from the faith. But I also feel like it's some people that are really hard-headed and that saying it that way is the way that resonates with them. Like some people, like, you know how everybody communicates differently. So I feel like saying it that way will actually help some people. I've seen it happen before. And not saying that, like, oh, it's like not effective or it's bad. I just think that for some people it works and for others it doesn't.
Yeah,
I feel like I understand that. I just like it's two sides though for real because one way I took that as how you said it is a parent to a child. I was the child that needed whoopings. You're going to have to beat me so I can understand what you're saying. Then you have some children who are like, they just need a conversation.
Exactly.
And they understand. But then, me receiving the beating, though, it's also still like, I'm really just being scared into doing the thing. Like, it's like using fear to do fear is the reason that I'm not doing the thing now because it's like, oh, I'm scared of getting a whooping. But I feel like true true relationship with God, which will lead to like true sanctification and transformation, is going to come from loving God. Not, and yes, we have a fear of God, but not I'm afraid of hell. So because they're talking about this right now, because I'm afraid of hell, I'm gonna give my life to God. But yeah, more so, oh wow, I want to experience the love of God.
Yeah, it should be.
I desire to love God. So yeah, because of that, I am going to give my life to God right now. Not, I feel like making it a fear thing. It's like, I don't know. I feel like then that almost does paint God in this like fearful way. Like, if that's your interaction of like, oh, this is what's bringing me to Christ, is fear. I'm not saying if it's good or bad. I don't know, but I just feel like God is more love than fear, you know. Yeah, like God sure loves us more than he wants us to just be afraid of him. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, that's good, and I do subscribe to that. I feel like, and I'm gonna make it quick because I know we still gotta read our Bible verses, but
we can just do one each.
Okay. I do subscribe to that. I believe that. Now, my dad used to always say, "It's not what you say, it's how you say it."
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the message of like, if you don't turn from your sins, you're gonna go to hell, I don't think that's ultimately bad, because mm-hmm, that's the truth.
Yeah.
I just, okay, now when it comes to the way people say it, yes, I do agree that it's some people that say it super harshly, where it is hard for the heart to receive it, like super condemning, super harshful. Sometimes some people say it out of just pride, because mm-hmm, they feel like they're better, and just, you're gonna go to hell. Now those types of preachers, I feel like that is doing a little too mm-hmm much. Now for the people who do say it more in a gentler way, or like a way where it can be received,
mm-hmm,
I don't think that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I agree part with what everything y'all said. I just think everybody take a different approach, and I think that if somebody is, in my perspective, if somebody's already like hard-headed and you're telling them like you're going to hell, or like different things, like the whole like child analogy,
mm-hmm,
if somebody is telling somebody like you may yell at somebody, it's like there's different ways to approach it. And just basically, as you said, telling your story,
yeah,
I feel as though that will work better for most, because you don't want it to be out of fear. You want it to be a genuine like love and obedience to him. So
yeah,
that's my thing. That's what I was getting at as far as like the yeah whole
mm-hmm
thing. No, that was I'm glad you yeah said that. It sparked a good conversation.
And
not another
this is the last thing. This is
now, if
this
I think of something, I'm gonna have to say
this
too.
Will be really good, yeah, though. I promise it's gonna be good.
She about okay to use the hood.
There's a scripture that talks, or I believe it's a scripture that talks about, I don't want to be incorrect, but essentially, like, God will, like, reveal himself to us. I heard that being said in church, as far as, like, God will reveal himself to us. So, I believe it's just our jobs to, like, plant seeds, mm-hmm, and God is going to, like, speak to you when it's time. So, meaning, I have heard plenty of stuff about church and God my whole life. I still didn't believe in God.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I still thought that it was crazy. But then I had a moment where I experienced God, not because I was in a church, literally, not because I was standing in front of somebody preaching, not because of someone was evangelizing to me. I had a moment where I heard God say, give your life to me. Mm-hmm. And I knew it wasn't me, because if I never wanted to believe in God prior mm-hmm to that. So I knew it wasn't me telling myself this thing. And so God, when he was ready, he called me. It wasn't someone forcing me in a moment. And not saying that's what people are doing, but just giving an example, mm-hmm, like it wasn't people forcing me in a moment saying, give your life to God right now. I think our job is just to plant the seeds. Like, it's God's job to actually, like, we're not saving the person. It's God's job to pull definitely the people in. It's God's job to touch their hearts. It's God's job to do that, and not ours.
Quick, to add to that real quick. I guess it also depends on where the person is at in their heart. Because just like how you said, God came to you specifically. It was nobody that told you. For me, I was feeling very heavy and anxious in 2020, and I was watching a video, and in the video, the guy was actually saying that the rapture is about to happen. Jesus is coming. If you don't turn from your sins, he was like telling the truth, literally how we were just talking about. And that helped me receive. He said a prayer at the end. I said the prayer, started bawling. Next thing you know, I just gave my life to God. God came into my heart. So the truth of what the dude was saying ended up helping me. So I guess it just depends, like, on the person.
Yeah. And that even reminds me of, I think I have had different, like, seeds planted in my life throughout experiencing God. But the obedience part is what I needed to work on. So now the obedience part for me is like, okay, this is like, this is a necessary time in your life that you need God, and it'll be everlasting. And before, I remember like a prime example, as you said, you were watching a video. I was watching a video of Queen, and she had did a documentary, but also before this, she had did another, like a few videos where she was talking about like just going to hell, or not God saying like the "For I Never Knew You" scripture. When she said that and I started like crying, I was like, oh, like this is an encounter for me, you know what I'm saying? And then even when she had said it in her documentary, she was like, what's one of her biggest fears? She said the same thing of like the whole thing about God denouncing her and saying like he never knew her. And so I was like, I mean, I don't know, I know I don't want to be in that spot. So yeah, it's just all, everybody has a different thing that touches them to like bring them closer. And for me, from that video also to like the trials and errors of like depression and stuff, like it led me to this point of realizing like, oh, when you got what you prayed for, you walked away from God, or like you stopped speaking to him. But I realized that I couldn't do it on my own. I can't release certain things on my own. So that was my
thing. That's good. But we got to do a episode on our testimonies one day.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
I know people be
still, and I feel like it's still what I want to say.
Me too.
Bro, let's save it for another one. But let's do the two one. Scriptures that we said, though.
I feel like we should do one each because of time.
Yeah, I ran up jam.
I know. I'm just saying. But I feel like what we did, the conversation we just had, was good. I feel like it's helpful.
Bro, let's do two.
Somebody.
I like the two.
Oh, we got to do a prayer at the end of this video. Somebody's watching.
And I feel, I only say one because I think that, well, you were just going to say you're one and be done, and you were going to talk about the scripture.
I wanted to talk about
it. Me too. So I feel like if we did two,
that's going
to
be
that's right, going to be one, a long, like, because I was about to.
I'm trying to get deep. Yeah. You see, I got my Bible.
Okay.
Y'all can go first because.
Okay. I got mine.
I don't want to, I don't know if we all have the same verse, so I'm going to let you guys can go first.
So, I have been talking about this with friends and stuff, but I've been reading Hebrews 11, which is basically, it talks about faith. Typically, when you talk about Hebrews 11, people talk about the faith, the first 11? Scripture.
Which chapter? Wait, Hebrews, what verse?
Hebrews 11, 1, but that's not my scripture that I'm doing, but that's what people typically refer to. I'm going to do Hebrews 11. Where is it? Actually, I'll read the other version of it. But people typically talk about the first verse, which says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So basically, yeah, the things, well, that's not the part I want to explain, so I'm going to try and keep things short. But that's what people typically talk about in Hebrews 11. But the thing that I had wanted to talk about that I've been stuck on, Hebrews 11, just to give y'all context, really just gives a bunch of faith examples, like talking about all these different people who display faith throughout the Bible. And it gets to a point where it talks about Abraham and how basically Abraham was willing to sacrifice his promise that God gave him as a way to show faith. And so it says, here we go. I'm scrolling. Okay, by faith, Abraham, this is Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Now, right now we're talking about like encouraging scriptures, but I feel like seeing that someone can have the faith to kill the thing, the promise that God gave them, like, that is encouraging. I feel like it's encouraging to have that type of faith, because I feel like sometimes our faith can be, it's like, okay, I'm only going to have faith up until this point. Like, God, if you ask me to do something too big, if you ask me to do something that's too far out of my comfort zone, if you ask me to give up some things I don't want to give up, Lord, I don't have the faith to do that. And so seeing Abraham, he wanted that son so bad, and God promised him that he would have that son, and he received the thing. He received the son that he was promised, not a counterfeit or nothing. He received the real thing. And then God told him to sacrifice that thing and give it up. And so I feel like it's encouragement to try and have faith like Abraham. Even when you just think about before he even got to that point, him receiving his son, Isaac, that man is old. Like, him and his wife are old. His wife was past childbearing age. Yep. Like, and still they waited and they believed that promise was going to happen. And so I feel like that it's important that we try and keep that posture, that one, we do have the faith to wait no matter how long it takes, that the thing that we're trusting God for will come, the thing that he promised us will come. But also I feel like when it comes to our faith, that we have to be willing to sacrifice. Like, we have to be willing to sacrifice the things that we want. Mm. We have to be willing to sacrifice the things that we want to hold on to in order to get to the things that God wants us, or even to just bring us closer to God. Like, as your faith increases, it's only going to bring you closer to God. And so even though there wasn't like a reward or necessarily a result tied, like, it wasn't a result tied to him, like, tied to him deciding to sacrificing his son, then not doing it. It wasn't like, oh, after he didn't do it, God was like, okay, here's 100 goats and here's a bunch of sheep and here's all this money and all this stuff. It was literally just like the result or the reward that you get from doing this, showing me that you're willing to sacrifice, is now our relationship is even closer. Like, now I truly see that you have faith. And I think that that's just super, super important. So,
bruh, that's so good. And it could be hard, though. Like, I know we're, like, short on time, but it can be hard. Like, you could really tell you have faith when you've given something up that you want, because you know what God told you. Like, I was just telling you the other day how sometimes it's like, dang, I really have to trust that. And it's like, not even, God ain't even, sometimes God won't even tell you, oh, like how you said, this is going to come out. No, sometimes God will just say, leave that, get rid of that, leave that person, get rid of that, quit this job.
Yeah.
With no type of explanation. And it's like, literally, you just have to have faith that God has your best interest at heart. But it can be so hard.
Literally. Super hard.
But
that reminds me of, to what you said, definitely that reminds me of when God was about to wipe out, like, everything that he created on the earth, and Noah was being righteous, and in that moment he told Noah to bring his family and his descendants and just move away to the next place. But what Noah did, he didn't ask any questions. He didn't say, like, oh, do I got to do this? Like, how, where am I going to take my kids? Like, he didn't ask all these random questions. And so with that, I know for sure that in that moment, Noah definitely had to have peace. He had to have, like, patience. And those are, like, fruits of the Holy Spirit. So in the scripture that I have, it is John, and I read it from NLT. It is John 14, verse 27, and it says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So, as I mentioned, with the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it bears fruit of peace, joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control, goodness, faithfulness, joy. I think I said joy already. Love. It bears all of that fruit. And so in that moment when Noah was told to, you know, go and start in a new land, he didn't ask any questions. Prime example as well with Abraham, or with Abram at the time. When he was supposed to rescue Lot, he didn't ask him, oh, God, I don't know what am I supposed to do. It's many that's ruling over me. He knew that God was going to take care of him. And so with that, he had peace in his mind. He was patient with his self. And also, he was patient with his journey, because after he won the fight, he also had went ahead and was offered a blessing, but he got another blessing as well. And with that second blessing, he turned it down. He may have wanted it, but he turned it down because he didn't want anybody else to say that, oh, I did this for you, or mm-hmm. I made you rich. He wanted the richness to come from God. Mm-hmm. And with him being obedient and with him being righteous, with Noah being righteous, it just gives us eternal peace. So when I was going through depression and all of my different hardships, I wasn't in God's will. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't in his the gifts that he was providing, the fruits that he were bearing, was yeah. bearing for me. Mm-hmm. And now as I get to know the word and be able to like have a relationship with him and call on him when I need him, and not just when I need him, but just call on him in general, mm-hmm. I'm able to have peace in my mind through whatever it is. I may have a little bit of impatience, and that's something that's being worked on. I may have a lack of gentleness in certain areas, but that's something that I'm working on. But as far as the peace, I can see that and I can experience mm-hmm. that and tell, like, oh, I'm now in this moment, even if I'm feeling down, I'm like, I'm still at peace. Like, that's all I can, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's what I can lean on. It's yep. like Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, like, to trust in the Lord with all your heart mm-hmm. and not to lean on your own understanding. So even if I'm in confusion, or even if I'm confused on whatever it is, the trials that I'm going through, I can have peace in my mind and know, like, everything is going to work out. You know what I'm saying?
Amen. That part.
Yeah.
The peace of God really hit different.
For sure.
For real. Okay, so my verse, at first I was going to do Matthew 6:25-27.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do Matthew 11, verse 28. And this is actually a verse I've been meditating on recently. And it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then there's another version that says, then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So
what's the other version
that you just read? I think this is NLT that I just read.
Okay.
But essentially, God is saying that, well, what I get from this is that we don't have to carry our burdens on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus understands that we will have trials. Like, there's the verse that says, in this life you have trials and tribulations. Yeah. So I feel like understanding that Jesus knows what we went through. Like, he came and lived a life. Like, God literally came as a human being for us. He died the most painful death anyone has ever died for us. Like, literally at church, they were talking about, this past Sunday, they were talking about how Jesus got beaten to the point he was unrecognizable. Like, he was mm-hmm. saying how when you see a deer on the side of the road, you could tell that's a deer. But Jesus, when they beat him, you couldn't even tell it was a human being. And it says that in scripture. And so I think, for one, understanding, well, during times where I need encouragement, mm-hmm. I think understanding that, one, Jesus understands what we're going through. Yeah. And Jesus is not a God that just is sitting somewhere, don't know. God feels, like, mm-hmm. it's so many Bible verses where it talks about God having emotions, like mm-hmm. being a passionate God, a compassionate God, mm-hmm. God being the God that will give us peace, you know, just different things like that. So yeah, first understanding that Jesus knows what we go through, and then this verse helps me because it's like, I don't have to carry the heaviness and the trials and go through everything on my own, but instead I can go to Jesus and he will give me he will take my heaviness, and he will give me his light yoke. And he's gentle. It literally says, I am gentle and lowly at heart. In me, you will find rest in your souls. And there's been times where it felt like my soul was restless,
mm-hmm.
you know, like literally thoughts going 1,000 miles per hour literally. And all types of stuff. But I know that when I go to Jesus, he will give me rest in my soul, give me peace in my spirit, and he will take my burdens. I don't have to carry it myself. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Period.
That is good.
Yes.
So, how do y'all want to end it off?
This was really good, bruh. Wait, where are y'all at? Oh, I know you're at Genesis. And you said you don't have like a specific chapter you're in right now, right?
Not really. I'm just reading.
Only reason why I started in Genesis because of what you said.
Oh, like, yeah, just reading going from through back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's easier to remember rather than, like, trying to skip it from place to place. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because reading the Bible, like, Genesis all the way back to Revelations, it's not even in order.
Yeah.
Did y'all? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But let's say a prayer for the people watching. Mm-hmm. You know, they may need some encouragement. They may need some rest in their souls. They may need some faith. They may need some peace. So we can pray for them, and then we can end it off.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I'll start. Thank you, God, for bringing us here today.
Hold on. Make sure y'all are bowing y'all heads.
Okay. That's so specific. Like, they're not even in the room. It's like,
stay locked in. We're seriously praying now.
Yo. All right. Thank you, God, for bringing us here today. I ask that you protect us all through all of the chaos, through all of the adversity. I ask that you protect our minds, you give us eternal peace, and that you allow us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. May you allow us to be able to view ourselves in the image that you created us, and allow us to be beautifully and wonderfully made in your creation. Thank you.
Amen.
You want to go?
Yeah, I go. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your light yoke. I thank you, God, that we don't have to carry our burdens ourselves. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that whoever is watching this video under the sound of my voice, God, I pray, Jesus, that you come upon them right now, God. I pray, Jesus, that you take up any heaviness, any depression, any anxiety, anything that they may be dealing with, God, when nobody's around, any tears that they've cried. I pray, Jesus, that you give them a spirit of peace, God. I pray, Lord, that you help them in this moment, help them to live their lives for you. Help them to truly surrender and give their lives to you, God, so that they can walk out this life living in the fruits of the Spirit. So there's so many gifts and just things that you've promised us, but we know that those are only for your children. So I pray, God, that the person listening to this video will come to complete surrenderance, live for you. And also I pray that in any area of heaviness, you will give them peace and joy and love and a sound mind. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, E.
Bro.
Come on, somebody's in the spirit right now. I
am. Dear Lord, I want to just thank you for relationship with you. I thank you that we have the ability to have a relationship with you. I thank you for calling us to you, Lord. I thank you that for the people who are watching, I thank you that you desire a relationship with them. I thank you that you love them. I thank you that you chose for them to be born and here on this earth for a specific reason. And I just thank you what relationship does for us, Lord God. I thank you that through relationship with you, healing comes, Lord. I thank you that sanctification comes. I thank you that growth happens. I thank you, Lord, that the things that are broken in us, Lord, even the things that we are unaware of, Lord God, those things are fixed. I thank you that the things that we have been hurt by, Lord God, those things are healed, and those in peace is put there, Lord God, in those situations where it was once turmoil and stress, Lord God. And so I just pray for the people who are watching. I pray for those who have heavy hearts. I pray for those who are lost. I pray for those who are confused. I pray for those who don't know you, who don't believe you, Lord God. And I ask that one, that you plant the seed in their hearts and show them like who you are, reveal yourself to them. Two, I ask that you show them, Lord God, show them some type of way how much you love them. Allow your love to fill up their hearts to the point to where it's undeniable. And three, Lord God, for those who are confused and just really unsure about life, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that you are a God of clarity. And so I pray that you give them the answers, Lord God, whatever questions that they may have, whether it's questions about you, questions about life, Lord God, I thank you that you are able to give them the answers. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
We definitely should do a part two, you know what I'm saying? Let us comment down below if you want us to do a part two, you know what I'm saying, of this kind of conversation, because I feel as though we all need each other. Like, we all have different things that we may be going through, and sometimes you just need a person to be able to hear what you're going through, or be able to combat all of the thoughts that the enemy is filling in your mind. So just know that you were made on purpose for a purpose, and that God is a graceful God, and he's a merciful God, and he'll be able to love you as you are, and be willing to change your heart and your desires. So keep doing your thing.
Per
yeah.
Yeah. All right, y'all.
In it all.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, real talk. Like, we just.
Okay, y'all. Make sure y'all are streaming on audio if y'all are watching a visual. And if you're watching, if you're listening to audio, make sure you're watching a visual. You need both of them, okay?
Exactly.
For real.
For sure.
But make sure you guys are also following us on Instagram and TikTok at Growing Pains Pod, okay? And is there anything else we need to shout out? That's it, right?
Yeah, we got future stuff coming up. We talked about the tour on the last episode. Yeah. So we're planning for some things for y'all to link up with
digital products coming soon.
Yep.
For sure.
But yes, you guys can follow me at Yanni Bratcher and my Christian streetwear brand at Wise Label. Also, I'm about to start doing mentorship for Christian. Well, actually, not even start. I launched it already. I started up a group called Streetwear Disciples. Where I am going to be mentoring all Christian entrepreneurs, visionaries in the clothing brand industry. So tap in with me, Streetwear Disciples on Instagram. Yeah.
For sure.
Tap in.
You know what I'm saying? And you can follow me at Rude Travion. My creative agency is Rude Team Made It. We got some drops and stuff coming on the way. So just tap in on the Instagram. Sir. Let's go.
And y'all can follow me at I Am Jada Ellis and my couture fashion brand at Agile Official. And y'all should subscribe to our YouTubes as well or whatever. Yanni's doing P31 series. Trey.
I got some vlogs coming up. I put some together some.
Because if Trey doesn't have his vlog posted by next episode,
he owes a deadline on me.
It's $100
each. He's going to send everybody that comments $5.
Yeah,
let's wrap up the video.
So everyone that comments $5.
And give us $100.
Yes, exactly.
Let's wrap up.
And I'm doing a relaunch series on YouTube too. So
yes, y'all go tap into what we got going and support us. But we love you guys.
We love you a lot. We'll see y'all. Let's go.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.